My name is Bella Goldwasser, and I'm here today as a member of Youth Power Climate Action. Thank you all for welcoming us here today. I joined Youth Power in the depths of the pandemic, unbelievably sick of sitting alone in my room. Some days, masks were required to protect us from eerie yellow, smoke-tinged skies, and every day we wore them to keep a virus at bay. Climate change had always been a part of my consciousness. I'd seen many documentaries warning of stranded polar bears and scarce water, common fodder of science museums and elementary classes. But during the pandemic, it felt like it was all happening right outside my window, warned by the smoky skies. Joining Youth Power gave me a place to do something with my anxiety, even if this doing something sometimes caused more anxiety. It was different. I text banked, providing get out the vote information to people all around the country from the safety of my computer at home. At Youth Power meetings, we swapped stories of hilarious nonsense responses to our text messages and validating exchanges too, learning together as we went. And when we made it to the other side of that election, electing a president who has gone on to help pass some of the most comprehensive climate legislation we've seen, I felt like I had a small part in that. Still, I avoided invitations to marches once we were doing that again. I didn't feel like or think of myself as an activist until much later, when I was deep inside the realm of refrigerators. Stay posted. It'll make more sense soon.
Hi, my name is Orhan Hostin Mittermeier, and I've been a lifetime member at First Unitarian Church of Oakland and a Youth Power member recently. Around 5 years ago, I really started to grasp the problem of climate change and realized its severity. Because of this, I started thinking about ways that I could make a personal change. The past couple of years, I attended climate marches in San Francisco, and it gave me hope to see that so many like-minded people were present who clearly cared about the environment and also wanted to make a difference, just like me. My family started to recycle more and introduced a compost bin instead of tossing extra food. Then in January of 2023, Heather invited me to join Youth Power. I jumped at the opportunity to work with other youth for a couple of months on a project. Little did I know how much further we would take that project. As we thought about impactful actions we could take for the next 4 months for something called the Stop Waste Program, we stumbled across the issue of potent greenhouse gases that commercial refrigerators emit. And we all liked the novelty of this idea. None of us had heard of it before at the time. Just quickly, raise your hands if you've never heard about that issue before. Good, that's kind of what we expected. So here's the 1 minute rundown. The gases, which are called hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs for short, that many commercial fridges use to cool their produce, trap 2,000 to 4,000 times more heat than carbon dioxide. So this means that a pound of HFCs has the same negative effect as up to 4,000 pounds of carbon dioxide in terms of global warming. On top of that, on average, about 20% of the HFCs in any given commercial fridge leaks out every year. What does this mean? It means that each year, the HFC emissions from the US has as much of an effect as the carbon dioxide created by producing electricity for 12 million California homes. We realized that by addressing the refrigerant problem, we could have a profound impact. So, first, we had to collect data about what types of refrigerants nearby stores were using. This info can be found on these little stickers at the top of every commercial refrigerator. So we organized what we called refrigerant scavenger hunts. With the rest of Youth Power, we would take an afternoon to inspect as many stores as we could in Berkeley or Oakland or Alameda. And what we found was that almost all of the stores were using R404A, which is one of the worst refrigerants from a climate perspective, and unsurprisingly, one of the cheapest options. Aside from small drink fridges, None of the stores we surveyed were using any of the climate-friendly refrigerants, such as propane or ammonia, that we want them to switch to. This meant that most of these stores had serious room for improvement, but to get them interested, we had to get on their radar in the first place.
On MLK Day 2023, over a year ago at this point, we got serious about reaching out to grocery stores and getting them in on our project. To me, that part sounded daunting. Going up to store owners, adults with plenty of stress on their plates already, and introducing a new concern? Who wanted to hear that from teenagers? But I was surprised by how many people were willing to take a moment to speak with us, and even more surprised by how many seemed interested. To be fair, our success was almost directly proportional with the size of the store. At Safeway, we stood awkwardly in front of a dairy case until we learned that the manager wasn't even at the store. But at Alameda Natural Grocery, a small local store, we got to talk to someone almost immediately. We shared what we knew, even confident enough to answer a few questions, and listened to the store employees describing old tubing and rooftop compressors, a configuration we would soon become experts on. We left with a business card and the name of their sustainability lead, and I remember feeling a wave of validation wash over me. We had a grocery store interested. Buzzing with anxiety and excitement, I remember drafting an email to Ariel, Alameda Natural's sustainability coordinator, who has gone on to become our partner on this project. She has facilitated Alameda Natural Grocery getting in contact with the people that supply the refrigeration and gotten a quote for how much it will cost to switch their wall of produce fridges to greener propane models. As we suspected, the price was too high for a small grocery store like Alameda Natural to afford on their own. So we jumped into the second stage of our plan, community fundraising. So far, our fundraising has primarily consisted of tabling outside stores. As someone who has spent many an elementary season selling Girl Scout cookies, the experience is hilariously similar. Now, I'm just selling greenhouse gas reductions and fridges instead of Thin Mints. Tabling can be incredibly difficult. It's emotionally exhausting to speak to so many people and have so few respond or express interest. People are busy, distracted, in a rush, hostile, confused, skeptical, and did I mention busy? But it's almost all worth it when you get to someone who has a moment to spare. Exposing them to a new issue, telling them, here's something that will make a difference, and seeing it make sense to them, it's incredibly validating. And even people who don't donate or agree with our issue can be incredibly kind. I even had someone wish me luck on the project, who introduced themselves by saying, you know climate change is a hoax, right? We take what we can get. It's all worth something.
So, moving forward, we're focusing on developing more financial support strategies for grocery stores looking to adopt climate-friendly fridges, including possibly carbon credits or applying for state grant programs. There are two big grants we plan to apply for when they open up, including one that we need to convince the local municipal power agency to apply for on our behalf. We're continuing to table and educating our communities on this vital climate strategy and also growing our youth power refrigerant team. At this point, our refrigerant project is a little more than 1 year old, so we're currently branching out to get the word out about the project and share our experience with others. We're so lucky that my Unitarian Church in Oakland was incredibly supportive of us when we gave this service to them, and that our minister, Reverend Laurel, reached out to Amy and suggested that we present here during a church service. Even though we're in another part of the Bay Area, there are possibilities for working together. Most of our meetings are on Zoom, so youth in your congregation are welcome to join us and participate in our postcarding projects, as well as start a refrigerant project locally here in Palo Alto. We're forming an adult auxiliary team to help us with grant writing, political strategizing, and other fundraising, like birthday fundraisers, for example, where you can ask your friends to donate instead of giving a birthday present. After the service, you can fill out one of these little vertical strips of paper if you have ideas or want to connect with us. Between learning about refrigerants and becoming experts through the scavenger hunts, building up the courage to talk with store managers and starting to fundraise, we've come a long way from where we started. And I'd like to think that we accumulated a lot of experience. What I've realized is that one of the key takeaways from our work in the past year was that very seldom was any progress made by individual effort. To quote a lyric from the UU Blessing song that we sang earlier today, and one of my personal favorites, you don't have to do it alone. And in fact, you can't do it alone. To give an example, I know that I personally struggled to believe that adults at grocery stores would take me seriously, and that I was deeply nervous about trying to convince them that they should trust me and switch their fridges. But with Bella and Sean, another Youth Power member, with me, I felt like it gave us a certain legitimacy and assertiveness that I could not have achieved on my own. We were all in the same boat and therefore could encourage each other to overcome the fear. Teamwork has shown up time and time again as something vital to our work.
I know that I personally have also grown so much as an activist since taking on the Refrigerant Project. In fact, I finally feel comfortable calling myself and thinking of myself as an activist. Once I found an issue that felt worth it, that I felt a passion for, it was so much easier to take risks and put myself out there, whether that was interviewing busy grocery store managers or just drafting a high-stakes email. If I'd given up earlier, when it still felt scary to send a get-out-the-vote text, I'd never have gotten to connect with and help to lead Youth Power, this amazing group. We kept on moving forward, together, and I know that we will continue to, just as so many groups, from families to churches to synagogues and activist groups all around the world, are also doing right now. We, not you or I, or any other individual, shall overcome the current hurdles blocking us from reaching a better future. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us today.